Hey friends, let's go back to the 90s with our new book, Mixtape Theology, 90s Christian Edition. It's part devotional, part retrospective, and all awesome. Rediscover the wonder of songs like The Great Adventure and Jesus Freak as you uncover their spiritual significance. But you know, we couldn't just give you a book without some 90s Christian cheese. We've included some original comics and hilarious retrospectives. Michael Tate of Newsboys and DC Talk calls Mixtape Theology the ultimate nostalgic throwback, and Michael W. Smith calls it a great read. Mixtape Theology will have you falling in love with these songs and the gospel all over again. It's nostalgia served with a side of renewed faith, and it's available now at Amazon and Walmart.com. Now, back to the podcast. Hello, and welcome to the Mixtape Theology Podcast on the New Release Today Podcast Network. In Mixtape Theology, my mixtape partner, Dr. Ashley, and I like to look at the theology behind our favorite 90s contemporary Christian music and poke fun at 90s Christian culture. I'm your host for this one, Rachel Cash. So, you know, the 90s were more than 30 years ago, and many of us have kids now, and some of y'all even have grandchildren. So how can we create opportunities with the children in our lives to open the Bible, apply His living word, and engage in prayer? Do we need a special curriculum? What if all we need are just ordinary moments? And can 90s Christian music be a tool to help us take advantage of those ordinary moments? Today's episode, I'm sharing an interview with Katie Bowser Hudson. She is the founding member of the children's musical group Rain for Roots. She is the children's minister at her church, and she just co-authored a book called Little Prayers for Ordinary Days from InterVarsity Press. As a fellow mixtape theologian, I asked her to join me as we discuss how to disciple the kids in our lives in the ordinary moments of the day. Hope you enjoy. So hi, Katie. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Rachel. Glad to be here.
So tell us a little bit about yourself. I gave a brief intro, but would love for you to share more.
Well, let's see. I live in Nashville, Tennessee. We met at the playground. Yeah.
Yep.
Like you do in Nashville, you meet someone and then you do a podcast with them. I've been here since I was 19 years old. And let's see, I've been part of a number of projects over the years. Back in my early 20s, I was part of something called Indelible Grace, which is old hymns put to new music. And I spent a season there being a singer-songwriter, just making albums and going out and touring. And then I met my husband, and we made music together for a while. And then somebody asked him to be in a band, and he went off and toured. And about that time, I started kind of doing some of my own projects again in kids' music. We didn't have kids yet. I just knew some neat kids. So that headed towards Rain for Roots. The one before that, I had a jazz band for kids called Coltrane Railroad. It was really fun. So we did a few albums, and then we did Rain for Roots. And by various circuitous means, I've ended up circuitous, but all of them. You know how God has a habit of taking little threads from everywhere and pulling them together? That's exactly what's happened with this book. There are so many stories upon stories that led to making Little Prayers for Ordinary Days.
Your book is about prayer. And you've had all of these years thinking about working with kids and how to bring them into the presence of God and how to disciple them through art and music. So I'd really love to hear your own experience with 90s Christian music. Did you participate in that whole subculture? Who were your favorite people, your influences? Did those influences still carry over into your work today? And then maybe after you tell us a little bit about your experience, maybe you could pick a song and we could talk about how that song has grown with you over the years. So yeah, tell us a little bit about your 90s Christian experience.
Well, maybe I could start by telling you kind of my entree into that world, which would be my big brother. I lived, my family, I'm an Army brat. So in 87, 88, 89, I lived in Mannheim, Germany. And my big brother, who's 5 years older, was in our church youth group. You know, even before that, I heard a little bit of Christian music early on because there was, you know, Amy Grant and Michael W. Smith and Stryper, but I digress. That's the 80s. But in the late 80s there, my big brother was in the high school youth group. There was a group called High Life that was part of a specific youth group ministry for high schoolers on Army posts and on military posts. Because it's kind of its own animal, kids who grow up like that. So my brother was really active in a really active youth group. And so I started to hear music that would leak over to Germany from the United States. Okay, so we're way pre-internet here. We are pre-CDs. We're definitely in tapes and mixtapes at this point. And the things that I was starting to hear, I was hearing from my big brother. Because he was 5 years older and so cool. So I started to hear a little there. And then we came back to the United States in 89, the same, like a week before the Berlin Wall came down. And so all the kids in Girl Scouts and Boy Scouts got to go take the wall down. And I went to pony camp at Wesley Woods. And there, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of it there, but I went to pony camp. And I met Jesus. I really, really did. I think there's kind of an expectation in my family that you go to camp and you go meet Jesus, because it happened a lot. People came back like, yep, I met Jesus. Here we are. But I really did. In a really intimate, beautiful, clear, near way, Jesus came near. And after that, I went back to our church, and our little Methodist youth group. And I was like, I met Jesus. What do I do? And they started making me the representative, like the youth representative to every committee, because they didn't really know what to do with me. And then I started to meet these kids who went to a Baptist church. And I was real interested in them. And so in my Methodist church, there weren't a whole, I didn't hear much in the way of CCM. I heard the Judds. I remember hearing the Judds. So some country music. But then I went over to the Baptist church and it was full on, complete, full tilt, contemporary Christian music, youth culture. And I was in there and I was fascinated being over there because, I mean, one thing that the Baptists did that I saw a lot was that they cracked their Bibles. Like they opened them and I saw them. And that was fascinating to me that they were people who were reading the Bible regularly. And I know Methodists do too. I know that a lot more now. But just what I was seeing when I was 12, 13 years old was that. And I started to hear DC Talk and more Michael W. Smith and Stephen Curtis Chapman. And let's see, all the everybody you hear at that time. Trying to think. I was a really big Crystal Lewis fan. Crystal Lewis, I mean, she's still, I've been listening to her version of, her version of How Great Thou Art. It still makes the hair on my arm stand up. It is just gorgeous. So I started listening to all of this mixed in with Broadway folk and jazz.
So when you're listening to these songs, were you kind of inspired to open your Bible, to crack your Bible, to figure out where is this information about the song coming from? Oftentimes 90s Christian music will have, you know, verses in them or concept in them. Were you inspired to go and look for that in the Bible?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Because for one thing, it was still at a time now. Okay. Now we're getting into CDs. My parents got me one of those sets that was like a CD player, tape player, those little stereo units that had, had a record player, CD and tape player, and a dual deck so that I could, you know, make mixtapes myself and dub stuff.
Nice.
So at that point, everybody was actually reading liner notes. So yeah, I wanted to know who was playing on the records and I wanted to know the scripture references. I wanted to know all of that. And I was digging into those. And when I was going to music festivals, I was so curious. It's like, who was that? I was reading those notes and I was following that. So yeah, that was a really, that was a really great thing. It made me go, wait, where did that come from? And where did they get that?
Liner notes, reading those liner notes. I have so many memories just sitting on my bed, just like poring over these liner notes and trying to find verses to match, you know. And then I would make mixtapes too that would have, you know, for other people that would have the song title and then a verse, you know, look up the verse that would go to the song. And that was my way of, you know, ministering to my friends or people who were curious about God. Oh, like, yeah. I don't really know what to say so much, but I may do this mixtape and it's got these Bible verses in it. So when you listen to this song, you know, look up this verse and you'll see more about it. So was there a song for you in the 90s that really impacted you? And now you've had all these years of experience to kind of think through this song again, and you've maybe gained some new perspective or new insight into God's word as a result of this song sticking with you over the years.
Yes. I was looking through lots of, okay. So Rachel, you sent me on rabbit trails when you said we might be talking about some favorite songs. And I was a really big fan of Out of the Gray. I loved Out of the Gray, and I also specifically loved that, when Christine Dente of Out of the Gray made an album with Susan Ashton and Margaret Becker, the Ashton Becker Dente project. Mm-hmm. Oh, I loved it. Like within CCM, that really was in so many ways, so slick and so big, and so in your face and so high energy for youth group. Out of the Gray was making really interesting, beautiful, thoughtful music with depth of lyrics. There was something about the intimacy and the reality and the considered depth that made me think that music is coming out of people who have sat quietly and considered God's character and sat in his presence. And the husband wife team of them made Scott Dente's guitars feel like they were having a conversation with Christine Dente's beautiful vocals. And I loved her voice too. I definitely spent some time learning how to try to cop some Christine Dente along the way. But their song, Love Like Breathing, is a total favorite. It's this kind of beautiful, pulsing, lullaby-ish song that says, I want to love like breathing, spontaneous like breathing. And the song itself will lower your heart rate. and it sounds like breathing in and out. And I loved that. I loved the thought. When it says, I want to love like breathing, it's so clearly saying that that's what God does. He loves like breathing. He breathed creation into existence. He breathed us into existence, and he continues to do it in and out like breathing. That this whole world has been, and all of his people created in his image, have been just breathed into existence out of his love. Mm. And it was such a beautiful, wholehearted, holistic way of looking at loving. I loved it.
That's awesome. No wonder you're a writer. That was a great way to explain that song.
I have to edit a lot because I ramble. I figure things out by talking or on a page.
Yeah. So loving like breathing, that reminds me of like what you wrote in the back of the book of Little Prayers for Ordinary Days, which you co-wrote with Flo Paris Oakes and Tish Harrison Warren and is published by IVP or InterVarsity. In the back of the book, you write to parents, you say, it's in these daily moments around the dinner table, on the way to visit a friend, when pointing out a bird in the tree, that we learn to recognize God's closeness and God's kingdom in the world. And this is how our hearts and minds are formed and shaped by the gospel. And it's as challenging to me as a parent, because I oftentimes feel myself compartmentalizing my time with God, my children's time with God. This is my special time with God, with them, where I'm teaching them the Bible, and then the rest of the time is something separate. But you bring in the point that, you know, love and God's love is like breathing. And when we take the time to recognize God's closeness in just the ordinary parts of the day, we are inviting God's love into our lives. And then also that pours out. It's a response, you know, his love causes us to pour out his love to others. Because that's what you do. If you are submitting to God and recognizing his presence, you can't help but love others in return, because that's what he's doing through us.
Yeah. I mean, in my family with my kids, I have two, an 11-year-old and a 7-year-old. I mean, we definitely have structured times of prayer and worship. Mostly, quite honestly, we read books. But as far as reading scripture with them goes, we use an app from this community called the Northumbria Community, and they have morning prayer. We often use that, and sometimes evening prayer if we're not all wiped. But oftentimes we'll use Northumbria prayer in the morning. But I think something we're trying to reflect in the book is what it says in scripture, where it says that to teach your children these things as you walk along the road, when you get up in the morning, when you lie down at night, just as we are alongside our children, I think it does help to be a verbal processor, because I'm often babbling about God's world alongside as we're just doing things. Look at that bird. Can you even believe how beautiful that is? We just found a bird just made a nest in our recycling bin, and we were looking at the eggs and going, look at that. Can you even imagine? Who would think up something like that? We ask questions like that all the time. Who would make up something like that? And can you even imagine making something like that? Where did that come from? All of these questions that lead to, can you imagine how thoughtful and meticulous and creative and big and strong and good God is? And I think you do that, as you're walking along, when you end the day, when you begin it. And I think that kind of flow to things helps children realize that this isn't a compartment over here where we do this. So yeah, when we wrote this book, it was, you know, we wrote many, many more prayers than this. And we kind of got it down to prayers that really are just for ordinary moments. And it's a little book. When you said it was a sweet little book, we intentionally made it a little book so that people can tuck it in a bag, tuck it beside your car seat, take it along with you, and just have it wherever you are, so that you can read these little prayers in ordinary moments. Like going to school during the day, for doing chores, for when I do something I shouldn't do, for when I've lost something, for rest time. We really were looking to create a book of little prayers with experiences that were common to all children, or many, many children. And so that they could look at the world with eyes that are considering that God is reaching out to have a conversation with them all the time. That he always cares, he's always listening and always loving them.
That's awesome. I feel like 90s Christian music kind of did a lot of the things that you're encouraging readers to do in their book. I just remember being a new Christian and having, you know, a song in my head. And that song in my head would just remind me of God's presence. And I just remember sitting in class, not just at regular public school, and just knowing that God was with me and feeling his presence with me. And I feel a big part of that is just having a song in my head, you know, and this book can be a great way to just kind of have prayers in their head. They're so cute and sweet. Like, you have one of the prayers is for listening to music. It says, "Dear God, who sings over the world, thank you for music. It helps me when I do chores. I like to listen to my favorite songs in the car. I sing along and it feels so good. And I know you like to hear it." I mean, that's a sweet prayer. And I do. Go ahead.
Just going to say, yeah, that was a definite beautiful thing about CCM, that it got on the radio. It got into places where everybody was regularly and kids and adults started to go, oh yeah, this is just part of my everyday life, and kept it. It just started to be the soundtrack of people's lives. And yeah, it added that layer of encouragement that was good, that lying down and getting up and walking along the road.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So Katie, you've already given us so much to think about in terms of how we can use little prayers for ordinary days as part of our discipleship with our kids. And then using, you know, our own music that we listen to and knowing that it can be impactful. What are some other ideas or things that you do with your own kids to help you disciple your kids in recognizing God's presence and just their daily breathing, loving like breathing?
Well, I mean, part of what Little Prayers for Ordinary Days came out of was that Flo Paris Oaks, with whom she's where this book started. This was her idea first. She and I were in a band along with Sandra McCracken and Ellie Holcomb and Alice Smith called Rain for Roots. Because we didn't see a whole lot of music that told God's big, good story that we liked. So we were sitting around complaining about it. And Alice said, wouldn't it be lovely if there were somebody who could do that? So we made an album. We asked Sally Lloyd-Jones, who wrote the Jesus Storybook Bible, if we could use a little sweet Bible of hers called the Hugga Bible. And we used the lyrics to that for our first album. And then we did one about parables called The Kingdom of Heaven is Like This. And we did one called Waiting Songs for Advent. And our latest one specifically is primarily in the Psalms called All Creatures. Yeah.
Great. So one of the things that I'm just want to reiterate to our audience, and it might be obvious to say at this point, but 90s Christian music and Christian music in general is not just for entertainment purposes only, right? It's a tool that we can use not only for our own discipleship, but for our children's discipleship. And Rain for Roots is a great example of that. I encourage you to go and check out Katie's work in that. How can people find out about Rain for Roots or listen to those albums?
Oh, it's all the places. You can find it on Spotify or you can go to rainforroots.com. We have videos on Right Now Media. We have a whole new set of them coming out. Oh yeah. We have a whole new set of those coming out next week. They're really beautiful. These beautiful animated chalk videos that are really sweet for littles. They're kind of meditative and beautiful. You can find it in all the places.
Great. That's awesome. And before we close, Katie, is there anything else that you wanted to share?
I feel the need to give full disclosure that other time that I've spent around contemporary Christian music is that I married a guy in it, a guy who was in a band called Vigilantes of Love, who hung out on Bill Allen-y and that crew hung out on the fringes of that world. And now my husband plays with Crowder. So we have definitely sometimes dipped our toes in and sometimes jumped in full force. So I kind of live adjacent to that world. So yeah. I have to say, I have seen so many good things happen via that music, and I'm grateful for it. And this is really fun for me specifically to talk about 90s CCM, because it's a deep dive back into memories. I guess, Rachel, one other thing I would say, when it comes to talking to your kids, if you are listening to 90s Christian music, I mean, for me, that's when I was a teenager and in my early 20s. And the beauty of it to me is that those songs have so many memories attached, and it's a great place to tell your stories.
Hmm.
It's like, oh, that's right, I listened to this one at this festival, or I remember listening to this song at this church, or my friend and I really... it really can help tie stories together with your children and help you tell your story of God's goodness.
Oh, that's a great idea. And ask questions too. Like, what do you think this song means? Or why do you think they said it like that? Or I have shared experiences too. Like you just said, the first time I heard this song and what I thought about that song and how much that song meant to me as a young person. And it can be a great conversation starter just in the ordinary moments of the day, you know, sitting in the car, doing chores. Whatever. So yeah, you know, listener out there, mixtape theologian, just think about how Christian music and art, poetry can all be used as a tool for discipleship. Just ask questions, talk about your own experiences, bring it back to the Bible. You never know how God might use it.
Yes. I love that.
Well, thanks for being with us, Katie. Everybody out there, go out there and get you a copy of Little Prayers for Ordinary Days. If you're listening to this podcast during the month of May, that is the book that we're going to be giving away for the month of May 2022. In order to win that book, just go to our website, mixtapetheology.com. Scroll down to the bottom where it says subscribe for updates. Put in your email address by May 31st, 2022, and you can be entered to win that book as well as any future giveaways. So if you are part of our email list, you are automatically entered to win all future giveaways, which is a pretty good deal. Don't you think, Katie?
Okay. I only have to sign up once and things keep going. That's good.
Yeah. Also, we have a new merch store that we just opened up. If you also go to mixtapetheology.com and click on the shop button, you can see some of our funny 90s Christian inspired merch that we have out there. And part of the proceeds are going to support one of our favorite ministries, which is Speak for the Unborn, which you can learn about at speakfortheunborn.com. So thanks for joining us today, Katie. Thanks for joining us, listener. And we will see you next time on Mixtape Theology. The Mixtape Theology podcast is part of the NRT Podcast Network. Find more Christian music-related podcasts at newreleasetoday.com.